Hey, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to our NC Weekly podcast. We hope the message you're about to hear will encourage you, inspire you, and help build your faith. So lean in with us, enjoy the message, and be sure to stick around at the end to learn more about how you can take a next step here at New Community.
We're in the book of Philippians, and the Philippians is an amazing book about this, the joy in the journey, you know, that joy, Jesus is joy. And how do we try to track in and tap into that? The word rejoice, it's a short book, four chapters, but four short chapters. And the book of Philippians talks about this word rejoice 16 times, which in comparison to any other book in the entire Bible, it just dominates on this word joy or this word rejoice. Chapter one is the promise of joy, that he who began a good work in you will give you this joy. So you are starting by reading the book going, hey, God has a promise and he's going to give me something inside this, what I call this word happiness, but it's really a spiritual happiness, this joy that we have. He'll give that to us. Chapter two is the source of joy. Where does joy come from? And so we learn it comes from this God who came down on this earth, this great incarnation. His name was Jesus, amen? And that he didn't regard himself as God. In fact, he kind of just said, hey, let me humbly take that away. And I'm just, regarding myself as one of us. And it says that he who began a good work. And suddenly, Paul says, don't merely look out after your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. This is the attitude of Jesus Christ, who humbled himself even to the point of death. So chapter two is talking about the source of joy. The source of joy is Jesus. And then Paul says, and I followed that source. And then he goes, and my best friends followed that source, Epaphroditus and Timothy. And then he's going to say in chapter three, and we get to follow that source as well. And chapter three is just this reminder of joy. And so Paul starts by using this accounting term. And believe it or not, if you know me well, this is a pretty scary thought. But when I went to seminary, I had a part-time job, and it was a brick-and-mortar store. It literally was across the street from Dallas Seminary. And so I would go to school, and then I'd go across the street, and I worked for a IBM typewriter dealer. And so he fixed typewriters. He would fix little typewriters for little grandmas. He'd bring in these, I don't even know how they did because they were so heavy, Selectric D. It was even before the Selectric typewriters, it was D model. And it was so intricate. And it was a mom and pop store. There was Lee Gore, Ray Gore, and their son. And they did, and they would always hire a seminary student to go do delivery and a little bit of bookkeeping. Scary thought if your name is Dana or Mullen in this church, because that's what they do here. And, Ken doesn't always get it all right. So every month I balanced the books under Lee. And Lee, my boss, I was his favorite seminary student ever. And how do you know is when I left, he bought me Texas boots. These are lizard skin boots, yeah. And what I love about them is, I'm 2 inches taller. Isn't this cool? I want to wear these every time. This morning, I get them on, and I don't tell Valerie. I find them in my closet. I pull them on. I put them on. And I tried to go, buy honey stuff. And so you just kind of do right here, eye contact. Don't look down. Don't look down. She looks at me, and she goes, what are you wearing those for? She just knows. When you're married, guys, that's really scary, but it's true, right? They just know. I don't know how they do that. We're going to have to ask in heaven. And so I'm like, hey, it's an illustration. So she kind of let me do it. But, I want to wear these all the time. This is TMI, but I have a physical coming up, and I've known the doctor for years, Dr. Yee, and his assistant, Brandy, and who's a nurse, and Brandy always, she's super sweet and everything else, but when it comes time to getting on that scale, don't you want to, take everything off? Well, maybe you don't, but I do, okay? I don't want to weigh more than I have to, so I put the phone out and everything else, and, I want to get a physical in the summer, so I'm wearing shorts, flip-flops, kick the flip-flops off and that. But I'm thinking, maybe I just want to go in buck naked with boots on, right? Because one time she told me I'm short. I'm like 5'8", and I go, I'm not 5'8", I'm 5'9". She goes, well, you're shrinking. You're 5'8 now. I'm like, I've always lied about my height. I've been 5'8 and 3/4", but now I'm under 5.5". And so if I wear these puppies, there you go. 5'10", here I come, right? Well, no matter what, there's this joy in Jesus, and there's this accounting term that, my Texas buddy gave me boots, but I worked for his wife, and there was always this this accounting of what's going on. And there's this term in accounting circles called the sum total, which simply means everything needs to add up at the end of the month. At least in our circles, it did. Everything. If you were a penny off, you needed to go back and make sure everything balanced, because it just affected, if you start the wrong way in January, it's going to impact February, March, April, and so on, right? And so everything needed to kind of just count. There's a sum total of everything that adds up. And Paul is going to use these accounting terms in chapter 3, especially in next week's message, okay? And so there's just you start adding up everything and you equal and you add up another and it equals and everything kind of adds up. Well, Paul said, this is true in the Christian life. And herein lies it, the problem. The sum total, the adding up of our life, the sum total of all that I've done never equates to what I really need. We try things in life. And yet, if you think about it, this is super true. We all pursue stuff wanting something that's really altruistic good, right? We all want happiness. And so we pursue that by wanting raises. But we soon find out money doesn't buy us happiness, because once we get the raise, what do you want? The next raise, right? And how about, you know, promotions? They're cool for a while. But pretty soon, you either see the next job ahead of you that you want, or you're panicking because you can't do the job that you were promoted in, so you're not happy on that way either, right? And how about that new car smell? Oh, it smells so good. Until it doesn't. That's called kids and soccer, right? And then there's the neighborhood, right? And there's always that stress and the pressure to keep up with the Joneses, only to find out that they've refied as well, you know? So nobody's happy. The sum total never equates to what we really need. And those methods we think will bring joy end up kind of being a dead end. King Solomon even said this. He agrees. He said, look, it says it twice in the book of Proverbs. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end just leads to death or a dead end. It's just a dead end. So the natural question we have is, what do we really want from the things we think we need? What do we really want out of that? If we're pursuing raises, if we're pursuing promotions, if we want power and prestige and pleasure and these things, what do we think it'll give us, okay? Well, some of the things we kind of could answer that. One is, we think those things that we buy all the time will give us happiness, right? And then there's significance. Who doesn't want significance? I want my life to matter. Don't you want yours as well? I want to make a difference. So not only is there happiness, we aspire something to be significant in life, to end our life knowing we've done something for someone else. And then, of course, there's security. We want to be secure on earth. But Jesus even said, that doesn't work. The thief breaks in and steals. The moths, they destroy, you know, and there's frustration in all that. And if you're an American, which most of you are in this room, we want youthfulness. You know, forever young. I won't sing it to you, but, you know, it's a pretty decent song, right? But here lies the problem. The sum total that I have done never equates to happiness, significance, security, and youthfulness. And you're like, well, how do you know? Well, I call it the three G's, right? Garbage cans, goodwill, and garage sales. They all fill up. And if they're not going to the garbage, you're going to take it down to the goodwill. Let me give you kind of a hint this way. Don't do garage sales. You don't make any money. Give it to goodwill and write it off. It's a whole lot easier. You got to give a little bit, but give a little bit and write, give that more, and it's you'll make way more than 10 cents on a book or something like that, you know, that nobody buys. And then you got to take it to the dumpster, right? Which is half their stuff. Here's the deal. Buying stuff doesn't give you happiness because we all still go shopping. Promotions don't give you significance. We just want the next one. ADT, home security, doesn't give you security. I still pay the bills. Beauty supplies don't give you youthfulness, but we keep buying them. So how do we really get what we need? How do we really get that? Paul says, not a problem. I told you once, but I don't mind reminding you. I'll tell you again. I've already told you. But, you know, it's a simple solution. So since you forgot from chapter 1 and chapter 2, let's remind you again. It's kind of what, you know, Paul is saying. Forgot last week's message, I'll just repeat it. And he says this, it's no trouble for me to write the same things to you. I'm a bit forgetful, you know, Paul says. I get it. I'll just say it again. At Christmas, my wife, she gave me a gift. And I'm not sure it was a gift for me or not, but it's what is called tiles. Any of you have a tile and it connects to stuff? Because I'm always a bit forgetful here and there. And so I can't find my wallet or something like that. And so I'm looking around. And so the tile, what it does is it's really cool. It starts. Isn't that cool? It just like sings. And so here's the deal. I got it connected to my phone, to my watch, and to my keys. Because I'm always saying, where's my keys? And so I'm always finding this little, you know, this. And it sings to you. It's annoying, but it sings to you. And you go find it. The only problem is if you lose all three. And then you're going to have to find one of the three, and I'll find the other two. But I think this is more a gift to Valerie at Christmas time. You know how you give a gift, but it's really for yourself. That's what Valerie did. She gave me this tile gift so that I would never no longer nag her to be my key finder or wallet finder or this or that. Paul's saying, hey, I get it. We all have short memories. We all have things that we don't remember. I'm a bit forgetful, right? But what's the benefit here? The benefit in reminding yourself of what really matters in life, it gives you this security. Paul calls it a safeguard. It's a sure thing. Nobody can break in. The thief can't break in. Moths don't go in there to destroy. It's for you. And that word safeguard means safety or free from danger. It's a principle that will keep you from danger, Paul says. So what is it, Paul? What's the secret sauce that can never be taken away, that can never be destroyed? Paul says, that's easy. I've said it before in many books, but I'll say it again. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Now, the word finally is only for the section. You know, you've heard a preacher, I'm almost done, and then he keeps preaching. Don't knock preachers. They just got to keep going, right? But, to my last point, and then your last point's 3, 5, 10 minutes away. And Paul's saying, finally, and he says it again later on, so we know that this is just the section. From the section about Jesus humbling himself, descending greatness, he went down, but the Lord highly exalted him, and he'll do the same for us. That promise, and he promises, Paul says, I'm following that promise, and so does Epaphroditus, and so does Timothy, and Paul is saying, now, finally, remember this, how Jesus acted, how Epaphroditus acted, how Timothy acted, how Paul acted is the way I want you to act it. Finally, rejoice, and what is that? Rejoicing in the Lord. And Paul is saying, look, let me give you a hint of what this looks like. And so Paul, when he writes in chapter 1, and then I think in chapter 3, and then chapter 4, and he uses what I would call Jesus' full name. It's kind of like his first name, middle name, and last name like we have, but in Jewish cultures, all we knew Jesus by was Jesus. Jesus had the same last name as Joseph, and all the way to David. But we don't really know the last name. They only went by their first name or their titles. And this is what you see in Philippians 1. It's called the salutation, the beginning of the letter, okay? And this is explaining who Jesus is. And he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father look at this, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's really cool, Paul introduces this book and he's saying, look, he's the Lord, he's God. He's completely all that he is, just Jesus. And he wants us to connect to the Father. And so he gives us this amazing connection that he has full access to the Father. He has full confidence in the Father. And so if you know Jesus, you know the Father. And then he says, he's fully man. On that point of incarnation, God became man completely. Not part man, part God, 50-50 or anything like that. But he's completely God. And we have a God who doesn't just understand that our weaknesses come along, but we have a God who has sympathized, it says in Hebrews, sympathizes with our weaknesses, and yet was without sin. He struggled the same way we struggled, had the same temptations, and yet was without sin. An amazing deal that we have a God that connects. And then we have a God who came for one purpose only. He came to redeem. He left the full comfort of the Trinity to a certain degree, stayed in that Trinity, at the same time became man and did something for us for one purpose only. that Lord Jesus Christ came to give us grace and peace. But not only that, you see it again in chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is who he is, but what he has done. Do you notice this is kind of cool? Heaven is connection to salvation. He's our Savior, and the way to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have past, you have future, but Paul says, I gotta say this one more time. It's in the very last verse of the entire book of Philippians. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ may be with you always. And so constantly, there's a calculation, there's an adding up to what God gives us. And the benefits, that this truth will keep you safe. He safeguards us in this. Isn't that amazing? There's a present reality of Jesus Christ in our lives. And the reverse reminds you, remember the song, The Blessing? I love that this last verse because he says, he is with you. He is with you. He is with you. And he is for you. He is for you. He is for you. What's the point? What are we searching for? We're searching for what we're searching for. It can only come in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only that, it's not a rules list. See, rules regulate religion. There are 5,000 religions out there, maybe 20,000 religions, 19,999 are all dealing with rules. God gives commands, not rules. God gives commands not to make us feel bad. God is not a killjoy. God doesn't think of something, how can I make Mitchell more miserable this week by having to follow another thing to do? Okay, that was the Pharisees. And they argued with Jesus all the time. But God is saying, what are some things in life that if I follow will make an easier path in my connection, in my relationship with God? It's why God commands us not to have premarital sex. Is God a fun joy? He wants to kill it? Is God a vision vampire or a fun vampire? Just wants to suck all the fun out of our lives? So why does God say sex should follow marriage? God loves you so much, what? He doesn't want to make you insecure. And so he's willing to help you through all this. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive your sins. He even says this is a good idea in marriage. Hey, remember what we did beforehand? All that did was instead of what God ordained it to be, I'm going to give you a command, not a rule, so that your life may be easier because he loves you. It's about relationships, not about guilt. And everything Jesus did, from his battles to his travels, was about one thing only. From Jerusalem to Sychar to Cana to Nazareth, and then he went back down to Jerusalem. His whole 3.5 years of ministry was about one thing. His teaching, his miracles, his spiritual battles that he had, his spiritual warfare and casting out demons was about one thing and one thing only. Even when he healed people, it was about one teaching lesson and one teaching lesson only. His battles with the religious leaders of the day, the Herodians and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, was about one thing and one thing only, and it wasn't about rules, and that's what made the angst happen in the New Testament. The point? God came for relationship, not religion. Rules just regulate religion, but God came for relationship. So Paul says this, watch out for those dogs, watch out for those evildoers, and watch out for those mutilators of flesh. Okay, Paul, tell us how you really feel, right? And so he's warning us, and you're like, where's the context of this? I'm glad you asked. In the book of Acts, Paul says there were a group of Jews who liked Jesus, who believed he died on the cross for their sins, who believed he rose again, who believed he needed to grow that way. But look, they thought it would be a good idea to add rules to what Jesus has already done. And so in Acts 15, we see this problem. Paul and Barnabas were at Antioch, Syria, and so there were some men from Judea who arrived there, and they began to teach believers. And they said this, unless you're circumcised as required by the law, you can't be saved. Now that's a rule, guys, right? And there was a huge debate because in the Jewish circles, circumcision meant purification. Circumcision meant set apart. At least in their day, they were the only ones who had men who were circumcised. And so there was this separation, and you had to do this to be saved. And there was a battle. Check it out. It says, Paul and Barnabas disagreed, arguing with them vehemently. Okay? Vehemently in the Greek word means hell no, okay? Or something like that, all right? Just joking. It doesn't mean that. But that's the way I would say it, okay? I don't know about you. And all of a sudden, they were really against this. In heaven. And all the guys are going to be lining up to Paul and Barnabas and saying, thank you, right? At least all the Gentiles of Jesus' day. That they didn't have to do something to know God. That God did it all. And that all we do in life, all the commands, are just simply because God wants us to have an easier and a more peaceful and a pleasant life. And a more intimate life. And a more forgiving life. And those are the benefits of the believer. But then in addition, we do this in Christianity so much. We'll say, hey, you need to make Jesus Lord of your life to be saved. Well, what's it mean to make Jesus Lord of your life? What do you have to do? How many grandmas do I have to help cross the street in order to be saved? I don't know. 10, 15? What if I'm one short, one grandma short that I've helped across the street? There's no command in the Bible if you're new about helping grandmas across the street, but it would be really nice if you did, okay? What Jesus said was not about rules. And so they conclude in this whole debate. Well, it's in my judgment, James said this, Jesus' half-brother, he was at the time in the book of Acts, the head honcho of Jerusalem, the leader, the biggest pastor in all of Jerusalem, okay? And he heard it all, and they made a decision. They prayed about it, and they came together, and they just kind of told everyone else, it's my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for Gentiles to be saved. We should not make it difficult for Gentiles to be saved. We should not make it difficult for Gentiles to be saved. And isn't this our Christian calling, y'all? That we need to remind ourselves that joy is only about Jesus and Jesus himself. And that's it. Rules just regulate religion, not relationships. Obedience to commands just make our life happier. But it's after we know Jesus. Our confidence is not in power or prestige or pleasure. Our confidence is in Christ. And it's for us, we who are the circumcision, Paul says. Now he uses that word. Here's that context, Acts 15. We're really the ones who are setting ourselves apart. Now Paul is taking it as a metaphor. And he says, we're the ones, not those who want to add to religion, who worship by the Spirit of God. Here's your second benefit. Not only are we set apart, but we have a following of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. Jesus promised the disciples that, the comforter, the counselor, the one who will direct. And he says, whose glory is in Christ Jesus. Where are you going to get the joy? From the promotions? From the money? Hey, I'm not saying don't do those things. I'm just saying don't bank on those things. Because joy will never get you there. And it would put, no, how much confidence? Zero, zilch, nothing in the flesh. Meaning, the stuff we do to have righteous living. And so, all of a sudden, the paper comes out, and it doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. And Paul says, if you want to battle on works, let me give you my resume. Because I have reason to be confident. Meaning, let's have a March Madness and have 64 brackets of who's been the most righteous in this church. And you're going to go up against Paul. And so at the finals, it's Paul versus you. And Paul goes, let me show you what I've done. If anyone else has a reason to put confidence in the flesh, the things that I've done, I have it more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. By the way, if we're going to talk circumcision, that's the day to do it. Okay, pass, right? I have, you know, people of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, the special tribe. You know, it was kind of David's little, you know, brother, kid brother, kind of, or Judah's kid brother, the special tribe who Israel loved and Isaac loved. It's his nickname, Israel. And so it's a special tribe, and it's a Hebrew of Hebrews, meaning, if you want to know the law, if you want to go on the rule book side, the Old Testament had lots of them, 613 laws. I passed them all right? And in regard to the law, I was zealous in that. And in regard to persecuting the enemy, the guys that are just saying it's absolutely free, A+. for my legalistic righteousness. Do you notice that it is right? It is good stuff. It's not saying legalistic bad stuff. It's saying legalistic righteousness. And we do this all the time. Christianity just kind of slides back into religion. And we add things. Hey, make Jesus Lord of your life. Help some grandmas across the street. Plus the cross equals salvation. And Paul says, conclusion. He's basically saying, look, anything you can do, I have done better. But whatever my profit, look at this, whatever my profit, I now consider it and the total? Zero. Compared to what? What Jesus Christ has done, and it was absolutely free. Point, all that I have done in my life is not worth all that he has done. So this week, make a list. Write it out. Write all the good things you've done. I'm not talking bad things. Write all the good things that you've done. Write the money that you've given. Write the time that you have spent. Write the community service that you've given. Write the kindness that no one else saw, but the Lord only, Jesus saw himself. Write all those things out. And remember, it's not about that. So burn it or trash it or throw it away. And then write a list about Jesus and Jesus only and what he's done for us and the relationship you have with him. And cling to that this week. Take some time to write something, toss it. Take some time to write something about Jesus and worship that. How many of you have you watched the series The Chosen? Have you seen it at all? It's on, yeah, it's amazing. You can see it in a variety of different ways. You can stream it online. Valerie and I are connecting to our Xfinity on BYU TV. It has it there. And so there's all kinds of ways to watch it. What I love about the series more than anything else is that how Jesus connects, even when he gets angry at the sons of thunder. You know, he's like, I can't believe you want to kind of blister everybody and, you know, wipe them out. And then he kind of laughs at them and hugs them and shows that relationship side. I think they do a phenomenal job. Maybe this week, watch that series. Just type in The Chosen and type in Jesus and it'll give you a stream that you can watch somehow. But we're connecting with that and understanding that he came for connection. He came for a relationship. And this is why Jesus gives us joy and significance and security that we're never going to get through the promotions, through power, prestige, and pleasure. Two of my verses that are just phenomenal that I think as we leave this week. Titus 3:5. And he says, he saved us. And then look at this. Not on the basis of the good things that we have done or the righteous things that we have done. It reminds you of the Isaiah passage. All the righteous things that we have done are like a filthy rag. It's not the bad things we've done. It's the list that you've made up, all the good things you've done, how many grandmas you've helped across the street, whatever it may be, all these good stuff. And it says all that. But he hasn't saved us because of that, guys. And when we go that, we're going back to our old life with a chain, a ball and chain around our ankles. But he saved us through the washing and the rebirth and the renewal from whom? God, the Holy Spirit, and from whom else? God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. There's that trilogy again. He saved us from what God has done. And in Corinthians, Paul says it this way, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become righteous. Amen? So this week, get a list, write your good stuff, not the bad stuff. You don't even have to worry. Just confess that stuff, okay? Because he'll just forgive you. But write the good stuff. And then just kind of take it away, burn it, only if the burn ban's off or something like that, right? Throw it away. And then write a list and just, you know, tack it to your car, or just a simple one, of the relationship you have with Jesus Christ. You ready to do that? Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, who came for a relationship. you came to share this amazing Trinity relationship that you have in the heavenlies and to shared it with us, and that you gave us Jesus Christ so that we might live. And Father, I'd be remiss not to just give anybody in this room or online or in the gathering place just an opportunity to connect with what gives us truly eternal life is the work of Christ and Christ alone. And so my friends, if you're interested in connecting with Jesus today, just pray with me this prayer. God, I know my righteous things and I know my bad things. And I know those two things don't add up. The sum total does not add up to where I need to be. And so today, I put those aside and I trust in Jesus. My friends just say, I trust in Jesus. I trust in who he was, God himself. I trust that he died on the cross for our sins, and I trust because he was God, he rose again. And then tell the Father in heaven one more time, I believe in Jesus. And Father, for the rest of us, we believe in relationship. We just sometimes get it mixed up. The stuff we want and the pretty things that are out there, or the way we want to look. And those are good things, but they're not the connection that we have with you. And so today, we just want to ask you that you would allow us to take some time and meditate on the things that we have as a list and to trash those and to begin just to add this amazing thing that the joy in the journey comes from Jesus. And we want to take some time to do that as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in today. If you're new and in the area of our campus, we encourage you to come and join us on a Sunday morning. You can visit us online to help plan your visit at newcommunity.us. Stay encouraged and remember our hope and prayer together here at New Community is to love God, make friends, and change the world. So have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.